single one of us being perfected. I see evidence of this in my personal life. I see every single day my walk with God changes. I see this in the life of believers in church, in this congregation, and other people who I used to associate myself with at one time, and now they're pastors, they're preachers. People in the 80s and the 90s who I've gotten to know when I was just a boy and a young teenager now are mature Christians. These are all perfections. These are people being perfected. Those that take God seriously, the things of God. But let me show you the scripture where I got this from. That comes from Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to cover verses 11 through 14. And we are ready here. Yes, amen, amen. And the Word of God says this. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Being sanctified is you and I. It's us, Christians. We who love the Lord. We are those who are perfected forever. Who exactly do I mean we? We who have given our lives to Jesus, who have dedicated ourselves to the Lord, to the things of God, to worship, to follow, to obey His commandments, to do His will, to do His work here on earth. The Bible says that we are perfected, who are being sanctified towards the end of verses 14. However, I must say this, perfected forever, as it's stated right here in Hebrews 10:14, does not mean that we are morally perfected. Do you understand the difference? Our morals are still from the flesh. We still make mistakes. We still do things from time to time that grieve the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we actively know, and sometimes we don't. Something that we might have said, and then later on we regret saying. Something that we might have done, and then the Holy Spirit just catches us and says, hey, dude, shakes us a little bit. What's wrong with you? You know, grabs a hold of you, and you're like, man, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I wish I would have done that differently. And all these things are morals. Rather, our Lord's one sacrifice is perfectly adequate to assure our standing before God. If we want to come to the Lord, if we want to stand in His presence and experience God, the only way that we can do that is through Jesus Christ, is through the Lord, is through the sacrifice. And as we have seen, the sacrifices show Him proclaiming how He lived His life. But here we are seeing its impact. The consequences of what He did so well 2,000 years ago. All that He did was perfect. He was led by the Spirit of God. He was without sin. He lived that life so that we can inherit eternal salvation. This is what we are seeing right now. This is what we are living, what we are experiencing. We see mankind sinning. We see mankind being imperfect. And this is all of mankind. I'm not just including believers and unbelievers. This is just mankind. We see them being imperfect, sinning. And also, we see them becoming at one with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's going to be a time that a brother is going to upset you, offend you, trespass. Someone might violate your trust and all these sorts of things. But nonetheless, we forgive. We are witness to them. And the Lord speaks to them equally all through the Holy Spirit. Now, by means of the burnt meal, peace, sin, and trespass offerings. Do you understand? The meal offering, the burnt offering, the meal peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. We see all of God's holy requirements met through the Lord Jesus, so that we might be quickened by His Holy Spirit, be in continual fellowship with them, with God, and grow to become fully at one with all of them. And here the key word that I want to emphasize is grow. All these things are wrapped into one. And now we are able to have this fellowship with God directly. We don't need a high priest, or we don't need a regular priest to do a sacrifice for us, a specific sacrifice on our behalf in all these things. No, we can come to God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, adds the Apostle Paul's thoughts in this particular matter. He speaks about it very clearly. And we all know this verse relatively well. I'm ready for that verse, please. Ephesians 1, 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places," and this is key, "in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." This is pretty much what Paul is saying in regards to what we have talked about. The consequences of Christ's sacrifice do not end with our acceptance before God. Acceptance creates the requirement of being conformed to the image of the Son. And here is where we have to understand that you have been conformed to this image. You have been conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, when you accepted the Lord in your heart. And once this happens, there is another expectancy. God is expecting you and I to walk in the newness of life. Amen. You cannot be the same. You just can't. The newness of life is exactly what it states, exactly what it is. Newness of life. Your entire life. Everything. Let's kick out the religiosity. Let's kick out all of the main doctrines. And let's just look at things at plain value. You have a new life. Everything is brand new. Yes, we grow. We grow in Christ. We grow in the likeness of Him. And I'm going to speak about this in just a brief moment. I'm almost there. But before I speak about growth, we have to understand that once we are made in according to His image, once we are made like His Son, we are expected to walk in the newness of life, as mentioned in Romans chapter 6, verses 4. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Let me elaborate on this verse for just a little bit. I'm not going to hang a long time on this particular verse. But there is a sense in which a believer, right, when you read this verse, is attending a funeral of his old self when he is baptized. Do you understand when I say this? This individual, he or she, goes underwater, and they're pretty much saying these words, quote, "All that I was as a sinful son of Adam was put to death at the cross." When they go under the water. And now, as they come up out of the water, it's the same thing as they're saying, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." This is what it's saying. This is what the baptism means. We go down into the water, a particular person. We come out of the water, a completely different person. We put to death our old nature, our old self, the things that we used to do. And now automatically, we walk in a new life. We are a new creation. Brother Harry, can you please put up a scripture for me there? It's not on the list. May I please have Galatians chapter 2, verses 20? Let me show you something here real quick. As far as the importance and you, of you knowing that you are a new creation, that you are a new person, that we walk in newness. Galatians 2, 20, please. And we are almost there. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." This is the epiphany of a new creation. This is the essence a faith walk. Now I no longer live for myself. Now I live for the Lord. All that I am, it's His. And I'm the first one to say, that's not a bad life. That's all right. That's perfectly all right. You know, I have never been as happy as I am ever in my life. I have a sense of fulfillment. I have a sense of freedom. How do I say this? Sometimes I feel as though I'm invincible. But anyways, I don't mean this in a prideful way. No, not at all, not at all. But I know who's on my side. I have confidence in Christ. And man, I used to talk about confidence all the time. Once in a while, I still dabble on it. But, gee golly, I mean, if I don't live it, I am one confident somebody. And that only comes from this new creation, from this new self. When you know that you know that you know, you're good. you're okay. The only time I am not confident about something or I am uncomfortable about something, the only time, as the Lord is my witness, is when I do something without checking in with my God. And it could be anything. It could be a purchase. It could be a business decision. It could be a decision at home. If I don't feel at peace about it, wait a minute. Did I check with God about this? You know? And then I got to backtrack and say, Lord, help me. What do I do here? Is this the right move? But other than that, I'm in perfect peace. I'm in perfect peace. Why? Because this is my new identity. This is my new nature. This is my new self. Peter frames his instruction on our responsibility. Once we accept God's sacrifice in our role, and he explains it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see here? Things now took a small shift just now. How so? Right now, we have a special freedom. We have freedom to come to the presence of God. In the beginning of this sermon, we were reading in Hebrews chapter 10 that every priest stood ministering on a daily basis and offering repeatedly the same thing, the same sacrifice, day in and day out. And all these sacrifices that could never do anything for much of anything for us, for certain it didn't take away our sins. It covered them up real nice, but it didn't take away. But now, Peter talks about something slightly different. And that is you and I. Now, we are able to come to the presence of God. And we are chosen by God. We are living stones now, building this spiritual house. And then Peter calls us a holy priesthood. And then he finishes off verses 5 by saying to offer up spiritual sacrifices. He's speaking about us. This is in a new covenant. Spiritual sacrifices, but not just any, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Did you ever stop and think about this verse? The spiritual sacrifice. This is in a language that any child of God can understand. Right here. We are to offer up sacrifices in the way that our Lord did. How so? How so, Pastor, are we supposed to offer up sacrifice as Jesus did? I want to share something with you here, and I don't know if you ever stop and think about this, but there is no one record of our Lord Jesus ever making a single sacrifice in the temple. What do you think? Did the Lord Jesus ever offer up an animal sacrifice in a temple? No. There isn't. But right now, Peter is talking about sacrificing just as he did. Acceptable unto God. But before we dive into that, notice that if you've never thought about it, think about it now. There is no indication and there's no record whatsoever of our Lord Jesus ever making one animal sacrifice to God. There isn't. Rather, He lived their intent as a living sacrifice. Didn't he? He was pure. He was spotless. He was without blame. He lived a holy life. He was led by the Spirit of God. He was the living sacrifice, ultimately, his entire life. This is why our identification with our Lord Jesus Christ is so important. This is why it is extremely, extremely important for us to identify ourselves as being part of Him, to walk as He walked, to do things as He did. We are now part of His body, the church. We are part of this. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent the kingdom of God. He lives inside of you. He is inside every single one of us who have given our life to Him. And we experience life with Him as part of us. We walk through this life with our God. He is with us every single step of the way. Our conduct is open to be viewed for all who care to look inside. We are here on display. We need to shine our light. Shine this God who lives inside of us. Now my question to you this evening is this. Are we glorifying Him? Just a question. Is the life that you live glorifying God? Is it a testimony? A positive testimony? I need to add that also. Is the life that you are living right now, is the life that you are currently right now in, when you wake up in the morning to the time that you close your eyes at night, is it for the Lord? Or maybe it's not something that you think about, or you might not give a whole lot of emphasis to, or emphasis in. Think about it. Peter right here is saying that we need to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. Acceptable is a strong word here. It has a whole lot of meaning. So, is our life glorifying our God? Now, please understand this, okay? That though our offerings will be poor, and though our offerings might even be weak, because I know right now you're probably thinking, well, what can I do for the Lord? Or what I do is not efficient, or is not significant, or is not much, or in all these things, okay? You're probably thinking this, oh, I don't do enough, or oh, I can do more, and all of this. So let me go ahead and cover everything right now. Though sometimes they might be a little bit on the weak side, they might be a little bit poor in comparison to our Lord Jesus, because this is who we're talking about right now, right? I want you to know that by no means whatsoever, by no means whatsoever, they are worthless. Don't think that the smallest, even to the smallest things that you do for the Lord, to the maximum that you can do, don't ever think that they are completely worthless. Please understand that. They are still acceptable to God, because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they are still a witness. From the very smallest things that you do, they are a witness to the world. And they do mean a whole lot for our Lord Jesus. Yes, they do. And to illustrate this, I would like to give you a small example so you could understand what I'm talking about. I know all of us could relate to this. Let's say a couple right now, okay? Let's say a couple right now have a small child. They got a small baby of perhaps just a few years of age. You with me? They have one child, a daughter or a son. Do they expect that child to run a 100-yard dash in 9 seconds? We don't expect that. And I would hope that you would never expect that of a child being just a couple, maybe a few years old. You cannot do it. Now, are the parents disappointed because the child cannot drive a car? No. Right. Or how about that they don't understand Einstein's theory of relativity? Much less, right? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say right now? The relationship between parent and child, that's a no to all of them, right? Of course not. They don't expect their child to learn how to ride a motorcycle or a car or fly a plane or do arithmetic, whatever the case might be. If their child is only 1 year old, that child may barely be able to toddle across the room. If the child falls a couple of times, right? Do the parents lose their temper and kick the child out of the house? Of course not. Of course not. Is this making sense? Right? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? Of course, the parents are neither disappointed at the child's present inability, nor do they even think of putting the child out of the house. Those thoughts don't even come to their minds. That's not even logical. And why? Why don't the parents think this way? Because they know the child is just a baby. And they adjust their expectation and judgment accordingly, don't they? The parents will adjust to the child as the child is growing and growing and growing. The expectations of the parents adjust equally up until they become an adult, a young adult, okay? Son, daughter, you know wrong from right. You know you weren't supposed to do that. But as a toddler, not so. They are confident the child would get better as they mature and ultimately gain experience. They know that someday this baby will stride confidently across the room and then even a whole lot more. They know that that child one day will be able to do everything. Someday this once babe may run 100 yards in under 10 seconds and grasp the essentials of the theory of relativity. Sure, one day, by all means. Now, you might be thinking, okay, Pastor, what is that? You just really overly explained all of this. What has that got to do with God and us? In other words, I want you to know that growth is anticipated by God. We all grow. And this is something that I have been understanding more and more and more in the recent past as time goes on. Peter speaks about growth. Paul speaks about growth. And when they speak these words about growing, I want you to think of a plant. I want you to think of a babe, right? Think of a plant where I'm getting ready to drop some habanero plants in my backyard, right? Just like every single year, we try to plant some habaneros. I'm not expecting my habaneros to shoot up next week. If anything, last year, it took almost the end of the summer. Now, we did plant kind of late for them to grow. But growth is gradual. It takes time. It's not just like that. Oftentimes we want to be able to do this and do that, and move in the Spirit and the power of God and all of this and that. But can the Lord trust you with certain things? Will you understand certain things? Potentially, the Lord needs to polish you in this area before He's able to move you to this area. You grow from glory to glory to glory. And growing takes time, right? And this is why I say growth is anticipated by God. God's judgment of us is very, very, very much the same. When we are first in Christ, we are considered as babes. The Word of God calls us that. 1 Peter 2:2. Let me just show you real quick. It says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Grow in the knowledge of Christ, understanding His will, understanding how the spiritual realm works. Let the Lord guide you and show you how these things work, how they operate, how they move, so that way you could be efficient, so that way you know how to address a situation, you know how to fight, and everything else. At this point, our Lord very well may consider us as perfect for the time since our regeneration. And we are acceptable to Him only because of one reason, and that is through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. He allows us time to grow, even though we may make mistakes after mistakes. We might fall. We might do this and we might do that. Even though we do these things because of our weakness, because of our immaturity. Immaturity as Christians, as followers of Christ. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ, He keeps judging us as perfect. Solely because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, I'm the first one to say here that this is a wonderful gift. It's an absolute wonderful gift from God. He is not overly concerned about our individual sins as long as He sees us in a steady upward trajectory toward maturity, in our conduct to reach the measure of stature that is the fullness of Jesus Christ. And this is where our aim should be. Our aim should be always to be like Jesus. For us to grow and grow to be exactly like Him. Yes, we're going to have some hiccups here. We might have some downfalls there. But we are always continuing to grow. The Lord is not worried about the one thing that you did here that you know you shouldn't have done. Or this sin. Oh, Pastor. Oh, my gosh. My brother, sister, cast it out in Jesus' name. Rebuke that spirit of accusation, of accusation. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. It doesn't belong there. Our Lord Jesus has forgiven you from your sins. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. Don't do it anymore. And continue to grow. Continue to be perfected through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He allows us time to grow. He allows us to mature. And this is a wonderful gift from God. If a child falls as a tootle across the floor, will not the parent set the child right up, pick them right up, dust them off, potentially if they're crying, comfort them, and show them, son, daughter, this is the way that you do it. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? A child falls down, A child has a little accident, a little boo-boo. You go right in there, you comfort the child, and you say, no, you do it this way. You show them the ropes. Can we expect any less from our God? Should we expect any less from our Heavenly Father, the ultimate Father? Any less? I hope that you say no. We who are made in His image, we who are in the image of Christ, of God, absolutely not. Expect the Lord to guide you, to lead you, to dust you off, to forgive you, and later on just come and give you a kiss in the cheek and expect His Holy Spirit to show you and guide you how things are done, how it's made. Learn from this experience and let's move forward. Let us grow. Therefore, our acceptance before Him gives us this time to grow. Our acceptance before God allows us to be more mature, to be more like Him. So therefore, let's strive to be more like Jesus. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and conclude with the word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. We worship You. We exalt You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for loving us just the way that we are. Thank You so much, Lord, for being with us every step of the way, every step, Lord, that we take in this life. And I pray, Lord, that we will learn to trust You, to trust in You, Lord, more and more and more, every single one of us. Continue, Lord, to lead us. May we set aside, Lord, and put down everything that grieves the Holy Spirit. And may we always, Lord, grow in You, grow in the likeness of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank You for the ultimate sacrifice. Thank You, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins. And thank You, Lord, that through You we have access, Lord, to the Father. Thank You so very much. Once again, Lord, we love You. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.